Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. That's all we're going to hang out in today, these two verses. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, he says, "This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful." Now, to be regarded, what does that really mean? It's to consider or to think of someone in a specific way, to be known as. I wrote here, my working definition of today for to be known as something or to be regarded is, in order to be regarded or known as something, there must be a history of repeated actions or attitudes. I'm going to say that about 9 times throughout the service today. So if you want to write it down, and in order to be known or regarded as something, there must be a history of repeated actions or attitudes. For instance, no one here that really knows me thinks of me as a Spurs fan. This week I got a call from a friend. John Stotzbergen calls me up and says, "Hey, I've got 2 extra tickets to the Spurs game. Do you want to go? Do you, any of your family?" Well, it wasn't a hard thing. I had a couple things going on, and it wasn't like, if I was a Spurs fan, I would have removed every obstacle there was. I would have canceled any appointment that I had to go to the Spurs game for free. I would have done it, but I'm not a Spurs fan. I did have some obligations, so I politely declined and said, "Thanks, John, I appreciate it, but you know, I can't come to the Spurs game tonight." Scott Sellers is another friend of mine who's a huge Spurs fanatic. If you were to sit down with John or Scott, they could tell you who was drafted when, what their signing bonuses were, how much they got paid, who played for so-and-so, how long they played, what their score was. That I didn't even know basketball season had started up. That's kind of in touch how much I follow basketball. And then just on top of that, Spurs in general. I'm not known as a Spurs fan because there's not a history of repeated attitudes or actions to prove to you that I am a Spurs fan. I don't own a jersey. I don't have any posters in my room. But if you talk to these individuals at any given time, you would know that they are a Spurs fan because there is a history of repeated attitudes or actions that concur with and go along with them knowing and being a Spurs fan. So you also, outside of Spurs talk, I've had enough of that already, moving on to something else, but we all have that one person that we work with or in our family that we all consider to be rude. They're just that way. You know, you talk to your kids kind of thing. It's not because there was that one incident at that family reunion that, you know, they kind of yelled at someone. It was that one time. There's been a history of repeated actions or attitudes that that person now has been labeled as rude. The same goes for being nice. No one is being labeled as a nice person because they washed out or cleaned out the company microwave. You know, the one everyone uses and always forgets, and then everything explodes inside of there, and you open it up and you're like, you're growing things inside of there. And so that one person in the company wipes it out, and so now forever and ever they're labeled as the nice employee. There's not a single act that we do, whether nice or rude, that labels us as being nice or rude. It's through a history of repeated actions or attitudes. So Paul is saying here, you need to be regarded, which means there needs to be repeated history of actions or attitudes that you'll be defined as these two things. That first of all, that you be regarded as a servant of Christ. Now that word servant in the Greek is hupotasse. And the neat thing about that one word is it's found 20 times in the New Testament. Paul the apostle only uses it once. Every other word where you see the word servant or minister defined in the New Testament that Paul uses, he uses the word doulos, which is like slave or bondservant, or diakonos is where we get our English word deacon. But only one time out of all of Paul's writings, he uses that word hupotasse. Servant or minister. Now, what does that really mean? Well, it means servant, officer, or assistant. The King James Bible translates that word in the English as minister. Like I said, it used over 20 times in the New Testament, and the word gets its deriving, its meaning from the definition of being an under rower in a ship. It's where it gets its meaning and where it was kind of birthed out of was an under rower, someone on a ship on the lowest level of the ship, that would be a rower, an under rower, or a subordinate rower. That is where this word has derived from. Now, like I said, it's used 20 times in the New Testament. Most of the time, over nine or 10 times, John, when he writes his account of the gospel, the following of Jesus, he uses it 9 or 10 times. And here's a couple examples. He says, the Pharisees in John chapter 7, verse 32, the Pharisees heard the people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers, or hupertase, to take him. John 18, 12, and then a band and captains and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Captain and hupertase of the Jews. See, we're called to be servants of Christ, under rowers, managers of an affair. We are to carry out an order that's been given to us. These officers that were given by the Pharisees, they were a group of men assigned to take care of a task. What's my job? You go get Jesus and arrest him. Yes, sir. And they went and did it. They were to take orders and carry out missions or take care of tasks. And so Paul, in all his writings, only one time when he says, when we need to be known as servants of Christ, people who will take care of the things that Christ has sent us out to do. We will take care of the missions. We'll take care of the obligations. We will take care of the work that Christ has set before us, that we will do those things. He also uses the word doulos and diakonos. He uses those multiple times. But in this very moment, he says, you are to be known as, there needs to be repeated history of actions or attitudes that you should be known as someone who carries out the work that Christ has set before you. The other thing he uses, he says, you are also to be known as a steward. Okinomos is the Greek word. And this means a manager of a household or its affairs, someone who's not in charge, but is in charge. And in a household, the owner would set up and have, some of you may understand this word better, deputies, if you've done any kind of studies on history back in there. They would have, I would own this land, this house, and I would set up deputies, or I'd set up stewards to oversee sections or portion of my household. And so I would set these people in charge to carry out my wishes and my desires when it came to this area of my household. You would look at someone in charge of the field or the work, the grain and growing things. They would say, listen, there's your people, that's your work, here's what I want. And then the owner would walk away and trust the steward to carry out the desires of the owner. He would do exactly what the owner would want. They were in charge, but they actually had a boss who was really in charge. See, we need to realize that we really don't own anything. Our houses, our cars, our boats, whatever it is that we feel like we own, that we did on our own, we need to realize that that is a gift of God. And if we don't view it as a gift of God, then I want to challenge you to do this. Next time you pray, just say, dear Lord, I just want to let you know that the job that I have is a result of my hard work. And the money that I earn, a result of my hard work, and the things that I possess and own, once again, God, I want you to know it's a result of me. And so therefore, my house, my car, my boat, whatever it is that I have, it's a result of me. I just want to challenge you to pray like that. Most of you are out here are squirming in your seat. You're like, are you kidding? God would strike me down in my seat. I don't know if he would do that, but the truth is we would never act like that. We would never go to God and say, just so you know, God, my job, I did that. The talent, the work, all those things, yeah, that was me, that wasn't you. We would never do that because here we understand that God owns it all. But here we struggle with it because when God asks us to let someone else borrow it or use it or to give it up for him, well, I'm attached to that. I'll never forget, I did a Bible study with our students years and years ago called Step Off, the 30 hardest days of your life. And I've shared this story with our students before, and I don't know if I'll share it with our church or not, but in the Bible study, it said, write down something that you cherish and you value. And I was like, okay. So I wrote down, I had a pair of sticks signed by Mr. Ludwig. Ludwig drums. I'm a drummer, okay? So I had a pair of drumsticks that were signed to Paul from, I think it's like R.L. Ludwig. They were the guy who invented Ludwig drums. I had a pair of sticks from him. So I wrote that down. I flip over the page. I should have flipped over the page first and forgot, but I flipped over the page that says, now give it away. I flip back over and I'm like, Legos, you know. I'm serious. I was like, now I'm the youth pastor. I've got to set an example. I kind of panicked. I was like, what in the world am I doing? I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. So I did. I finally looked over. I had two kids in my youth group that were, I was a drumline instructor for our small three school. And I pulled Josh and Steven aside and I said, hey, I want you all to know that we're going through Step Off. And I want you to know my thing that I wrote most valuable was my Ludwig drumsticks. And I want each of you to have one. I gave away those drumsticks. Had another girl in my youth group who, when she did it, she wrote down her CD collection. That was back before you just had MP3s and stuff. She had a CD collection that was literally thousands of CDs. And so she gave up all her CDs, hung them up in the youth building, allowed people to be able to check out Christian music and in and out until kids in the youth group could listen to Christian music if they wanted to. She's like, I had all these CDs. I have nothing now. I'll never forget. She calls me. She's at Wayland Baptist University, her sophomore year in college. She's crying. She calls me up and says, hey, Paul, remember how I gave all my CDs away? I said, yeah. She was like, I work in the radio station now. I have every music to my disposal now. I gave it all away for our church youth group, and God gave it all back. And guess what? I get to go on a three-day tour with Reliant K and get to interview them in the next few weeks. I was like, wow. It's amazing when we think we know God owns it all, and then we come back and say, oh, no, really, God really does own it all, and we're able to give it away as if it's not ours to begin with. It's amazing what happens. But the crazy thing is, that's not actually the type of stewardship that Paul's talking about this moment. I do that to kind of set a stage for this. But he says, you're to be stewards of the mysteries of God. Put it on simpler terms, you're to be a steward of the gospel. I have given you this free gift of salvation. It's not by your own works, so you don't have any way of boasting about this thing. It's a gift of God. And matter of fact, I want you to steward this gift. I want you to be able to use this for other people. Not because you understand here that everyone needs to know who Jesus Christ is, but you understand here that everyone needs to know who Jesus Christ is. And so I need to be known as a servant of Jesus Christ, and I also need to be a steward of the gospel. But in order to be known as those things, there has to be a repeated history of actions or attitudes in regards to those things. So if we're to be regarded as servants and stewards, and we're supposed to be known as a servant of Christ and known as someone who's stewarding the gospel, my question to us this morning is, how well are we doing? What are we really known as? At our funerals, what will they say about us? It won't be about what we collected or what we obtained. What they share at funerals, because I've been at enough of them, what they share is how that person gave, what they gave away, their time, their talents, their resources, how they invested in other people. How they were always there for us. Those are things that are shared at funerals, not what this person obtained or what they did, but what they gave away with what was given to them. So if we're to be known as stewards and servants, how well are we doing? Is there a repeated action or attitude in regards to these areas that Paul says this is how we should be recognized or known? The other thing is within these roles, he says, this is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, more importantly, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Faithful. Well, that's kind of a given because in order to be known as something, there has to be repeated actions and attitudes over a course of time. Are we being found faithful and with being a steward of the gospel? Have I talked to other people about Jesus? Am I talking to my kids about Jesus? Am I bringing up a conversation? Am I talking to people that I work with? Am I talking to them about Jesus? How am I stewarding the gift of the gospel? Or am I hoarding it? Well, I'm going to heaven. I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. I know my wife's a Christian. I know my kids are Christians. So I'm so glad that my house, everyone that I know in my house is a Christian. Awesome. You know what you just did? You multiplied your effectiveness into the world. You've done a great thing. We're not here to hoard these gifts. The gift of the gospel. We're to steward it. We're to figure out what the master really wanted and then go carry that out. We also know the mandate that Jesus gave us. He said, go into all the nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and I will be with you to the very end. He's already told us what our mission is. Our job is to steward that. It's just like a steward in the biblical times to say, what is it? Oh, you want me to take care of this field? How do you want me to take? How bit of a profit do you want? How much grain do we want to grow? How can I do that? So my job is to oversee this because the master has entrusted me to steward this property to return a profit or to benefit for his family. This is my job. When it comes to the gospel, Jesus has done the exact same thing for every one of us. This is not just those who have the gift of evangelism. This is those who have the gift of the Holy Spirit to go out, to love people, to tell them about Jesus. This is how we should be known. Christians should not be known as people who get mad when you sit in their seat at church. Christians should not be mad because we didn't sing the favorite song. Christians should not be mad because the lady in the 15 line checkout counter has 25. We should not be known as those type of people. We should be known as people who serve Jesus and steward the gospel. This is how one should be regarded. But in order to be known as something, there must be a history of repeated actions or attitudes. We must be found faithful in serving Jesus. We must be found faithful in stewarding the gospel. I wrote here, servanthood and stewardship isn't something we do in times of convenience. It's something we do regardless. Servanthood and stewardship is not something we do for recognition. It's something we do to bring attention and honor to Jesus. And servanthood is not something we do is not just something we do. It's what we're known for. It's what we're known for. That at the end of the day, when people look at your life, they say, that person serves. They are an under rower. They don't care about getting attention. They want to get the job done. They want to advance the kingdom of God. That person knew what the Father wanted, and that person made sure it got done. This person understood what it meant to be transferred from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son, as Paul writes in Colossians. They understood what that was for them, and they wanted that for everyone else. And they made sure they didn't just hoard that information, but they stewarded it. They have been blessed, and they wanted to be a blessing. And to love other people the way Jesus Christ has loved them. Let's close today in a time of prayer and reflection. And Jesus, we just ask that as we looked at Corinthians today, what are we known for? When people say our name out loud in a public place, what comes across their mind? For many of us, myself included, we have to work harder at what we were doing. We have to be a little more refined in our attitudes and our actions to be able to be said of us. But God, help us understand that it's worth it to give up what we think is worth holding on to so we can give and receive the things that you have set before us. Many of us have the ability to take Whataburger to people every day and yet hold on to our time for ourselves and our resources for ourselves. Let us, Jesus, be known as people who are servants in the kingdom of God. That when there is a need that you need us to meet, we are willing and able to jump at it. And when it comes to people knowing who you are, that we would be first in line to be able to love and lead that person to understand who you are and how you rescued our souls and how you can rescue theirs. God, as we continue to walk through Corinthians, I pray that for us individually, you do a work in our hearts. But corporately, God, I pray that you would bring us together, that we would say the same thing, that we would be one voice, worshiping one God, speaking the one true gospel of how you left heaven, lived earth, died for us to reconcile us to the Father, to make us right and whole in your eyes. And we thank you for those who have made that decision and for those who have yet, Lord, I pray you would stir in their hearts the need for that. Lord, thank you for Bull Verde Baptist Church, for what we stand on, for how we love this community, and how we love you, Jesus. Let us be known as servants and stewards, and that we would be found faithful each and every day. In your name we pray. Amen. You go ahead and stand to your feet. When we're done here in a minute, I'm just going to dismiss you, but we're going to have some deacons down front, and I'll be down here. If there's something we can pray with you about, we would love to partner with you. We would love to hear how we can pray for you. If God is doing a great work in your life, we want to know about that as well. I want to thank you for being here. You could have been in 1,000 places and hundreds of different places. You could have spent your Sunday morning anywhere, but you chose to be here, worship Jesus, to be encouraged through the scriptures. And I want to say thank you, and I pray that God will bless you for your time of being here. I pray that God will take the words that we've heard today and stir within our hearts to do great and mighty things in his kingdom, because God wants to use you to do great and mighty things. You're not too far gone. You're not less of anything. You're right where God wants you. All we have to do is be willing. God does the growing. We water and we plant seeds, and God does the growing. And I want to thank you for being here to be a part of this process. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. Like I said, we'll have some deacons down here in front, myself, some other staff members. Thank you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week, and hope you'll see us Wednesday nights as we start back this week. Thank you. You're dismissed.